Before we get into today's show, I have an urgent update to share with you. As you probably know, this podcast is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. And with our financial year ending on June 30th, we're facing a $52,000 gap in funding that must be closed by this date. With just days to go, generous friends of the ministry have now offered to match every dollar given towards this goal up to $10,000. So please take a moment today to give your best gift at premierinsight.org/CS Lewis. That's premierinsight.org/CS Lewis. Thank you for understanding how important your gift is today and for giving generously. And now it's time for today's podcast.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Hello and welcome to the show that brings you the thought and theology of C.S. Lewis with me, Ruth Jackson, and Professor Alistair McGrath. Discover more about Lewis by visiting premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, resources, and podcasts. That's premierunbelievable.com. But now for today's show. In this series, C.S. Lewis expert Professor Alistair McGrath is delving into the Space Trilogy, arguably one of Lewis's lesser-known works of fiction. We'll be exploring the three books in the trilogy, Out of the Silent Planet, Perelandra, and That Hideous Strength. Well, let's move on to some of the sort of societal and cultural issues in the Space Trilogy, because that feels like a big part of what Lewis is trying to address. I mean, what are some of these big issues, and are there any relevant parallels, do you think, to our world today, or was he writing very much within the context of his own experience?
Well, I think Lewis is writing from his own context and his own experience, because he wants to engage questions that were significant at the time. Now, one of our problems is that things have moved on, so sometimes it's difficult for us to kind of step back into the 1930s and appreciate them. But one of them, of course, is the issue of vivisection. This was a very big topic at Oxford during the 1930s. And Lewis became very strongly anti-vivisectionist. And that shows in all sorts of ways. For example, even in these three books, you can see Lewis's hostility towards those who experiment on animals, because very often he feels they are not treating them with due respect, and also they're using them for very questionable purposes. And of course, one of the points that's very often made by people who've read the Narnia Chronicles is, look how Lewis respects animals. You know, he really is giving them almost like a personal identity, not because he's being childish, because he wants us to recalibrate our relationship with animals. I think that's a very important point. So Lewis certainly would have known about vivisection, would have been talked about in Oxford. And Lewis made it very, very clear that he took the view that human beings were better than other animals. And for that reason, they had responsibilities towards animals. They couldn't just behave like animals. They had to show that they were superior by, in effect, being gracious towards them. So it's a very interesting idea. And Lewis was one of the most widely cited critics of vivisection during the late 30s and, in fact, throughout the 1940s. So clearly, that was a very significant issue for Lewis.
I mean, one of the things that I was really struck by was there's quite a lot of references to madness, in inverted commas, in the trilogy. We see Ransom, we see Jane, we see the narrator all fear that they've, quote unquote, gone mad at various points. Do we know if Lewis had much experience of madness, I guess possibly not himself, but with people around him? Or was he echoing any particular opinions of his day when it came to madness and things like that?
Well, certainly at the time, madness was seen, in effect, as a real difficulty. And mad people very often would have been described as lunatics and very often would have been taken out of society and put in asylums of some sort. If you were mentally ill, for your own good, but also for the good of those around you, would be taken away and, I say, cared for. I have to say that's not the best way of phrasing it. Basically, the idea was to isolate them, A, so they would not be a trouble to other people, B, because they were a risk. They might damage themselves. And Lewis is here reflecting on that character of madness. Is this just our way of referring to people who don't quite fit? Is this something real, or in effect, is madness simply being confronted with a situation which everything you have in your past does not prepare you for when you encounter it? And therefore, Lewis's descriptions of some of the scenes that are encountered in the science fiction trilogy very often use the idea of madness to in effect say, I can't take this in, this is so strange. And you're saying, in effect, your mental inability to cope with this. Well, the obvious counterpart in everyday culture is madness. You know, I just can't cope with this. And therefore, the question being raised is, when you encounter the strange, the other, is this going to, in effect, be something completely incomprehensible that makes you go mad? And it's a very interesting way in which Lewis reflects on these questions.
Well, we know, don't we, that mental health struggles are obviously, sadly, a huge issue today. I mean, obviously, it wasn't talked about necessarily as much in Lewis's time. But do you think he would have had anything to say about this almost kind of pandemic of mental health struggles that we're in at the moment?
I think Lewis would probably be surprised at the extent of this, because Lewis fought in the First World War, survived the Great Depression, all these things. And in effect, really, like so many people at the time, said you have to learn to take what you get. In other words, that life is not easy. And to survive, you have to be strong. And that means you have to develop coping techniques for very difficult situations. And in effect, Lewis learned how to survive. And I think that's very important. There were points in his life where he was very, very low, particularly in the late 1940s. But the point is, Lewis, I think, really felt that you had to learn how to survive. And I think he might be surprised at how, nearly 100 years later, basically people don't seem to be very good at that. They seem to have to relearn the techniques that Lewis would have taken for granted in his own day. And of course, Lewis was someone who read medieval literature. And one of the big themes in a lot of medieval and Renaissance literature is how you cope with difficult situations, particularly bad memories or fears. And there's a widespread stream of tradition of wisdom about how you could do this, which of course Lewis knew about. I think he might be surprised that we seem to have lost this in our own day.
I just wanted to quickly remind you that this podcast is made possible by the generosity of friends like you. And right now, we're facing a $52,000 funding gap that must be closed before the end of our financial year on June 30th. Generous friends of this ministry have offered to match every dollar given up to $10,000. So I'm asking you to give your very best gift right now. Your gift will help keep important conversations like this one coming to listeners like you. Closing this gap in full by June 30th is vital. So please give your best gift today, knowing your gift will be doubled. You can give now at premierinsight.org/CS Lewis. That's premierinsight.org/CS Lewis. Thank you.
So what would some of those techniques be, do you think, to help people cope with some of these difficult things?
Well, one of the techniques that Lewis talks about is the capacity to forget. I mean, not meaning accidentally, I can't remember, but rather saying, I am going to shut this down. I can't cope with it. And therefore, I'm just going to, in effect, put it to one side and not think about it. And of course, you might think of the trauma Lewis would have known during the First World War. And instead of dwelling on that and constantly calling it to mind, Lewis doesn't think about, doesn't talk about. One of the things that's very, very striking about Lewis is that he rarely, if ever, talks about the First World War because he couldn't cope with it. And talking about it would bring back the memories and hence really, really put him under huge psychological stress. Lewis just doesn't do that. So it's a technique he's learned from earlier writers and he's put it to practice in his own life.
Well, moving on to another sort of cultural issue, some people have accused Lewis in the past of being sexist. I mean, do you think that's something that's evident in the Space Trilogy at all?
That's a really interesting question. I mean, I think we can begin by saying that men play a predominant role in the science fiction trilogy. But of course, that would have been socially expected at the time. The language was always about men in space. That sort of idea. But I think there are there are some other points we can make here. Lewis certainly was entering into a genre where, in effect, the voyagers were always male. That was just the sort of unchallenged assumption of this kind of literature. But I think perhaps we can see Lewis developing a critique of this, particularly in the final volume of the series, That Hideous Strength. For example, one of the things that always really strikes me about that book is, where are the women? You know, it's a very male novel. All the scientists tend to be men, and women play subordinate roles, but actually very interesting roles that often challenge the men. And I think I can see there the beginnings of a kind of critique of what was the social norm of that day and age, that men, in effect, did everything. So I think we can say that Lewis, on the one hand, fitted into the social expectations of his day, but at the same time, he seems to have been undermining it from within. So it's complex.
And I guess another accusation that's sometimes levelled against Lewis is that he's racist. I mean, do you think there's anything that would suggest that in this space trilogy?
Well, here's how I think we ought to approach this question. Supposing we say the inhabitants of other planets are to be seen as different races, what sort of attitudes towards them do we find in, for example, either the Silent Planet or Perelandra? And it's not, these are below us, something like that. It's very much, we need to learn about these. But it's a complex matter because there's a kind of colonial agenda behind Lewis's writing. But I don't mean by that Lewis himself is colonialist. What he's clearly articulating is we need to work out whether we on Earth can find somewhere else to live. And therefore, you know, that involves some degree of colonization. That's an issue which H.G. Wells raised in The War of the Worlds, where the Martians are going to colonize Earth. And Lewis actually is reflecting all that in Out of the Silent Planet. And my own view is that actually in Out of the Silent Planet, Lewis is critiquing the kind of colonialist view of H.G. Wells and saying it doesn't have to be like that. But again, Lewis was very much shaped by the worldview of his day and age in 1930s Britain. And I'm afraid we do see some aspect of that. It's very, very hard for a writer to step outside their own experience world and anticipate what writers 100 years from then would actually be thinking.
Yeah, because there's some language, isn't there? I mean, it's quite often not ransom. It's quite often Western or divine who talk about the white man's burden, the blessings of civilization. As you say, there's that kind of colonialism, imperialism sort of undercurrent to everything that's going on. But do you think that Lewis is perhaps trying to challenge some of that, or is that the context within which he's writing?
I think what we have to do is ask who in this narrative does Lewis present as people who are thinking in certain ways that clearly need to be challenged? In my view, I think divine and particularly Western do fall into that category. Lewis is in effect saying that's what these people think, and you need to be cautious of it. You need to be aware of it. You need to say, is this actually right? Because Lewis is trying to mount a critique of existing social conventions, and by portraying what was perhaps conventional social wisdom at the time as linked with darker attributes, and maybe he's saying this is something that we may need to move away from.
Thank you for listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast with me, Ruth Jackson. We were hearing there from Professor Alistair McGrath, talking about one of Lewis's lesser-known works of fiction, The Space Trilogy. Discover more about Lewis by visiting premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, resources, and podcasts. That's premierunbelievable.com. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.